right, so let's make it plain. Welcome back to the Make It Plain Wayne podcast, Elevated Friendship. How do you feel about all this going on? Now, I'm going to tell you how I feel, but how do you feel? Let's make it plain.
All right, so welcome back. I can't contain it. This world meet, in my opinion, was maybe the best track and field coverage I've seen, if not ever in a long time. It was Olympic level quality in terms of the officiating by Lee Diffie, Sonya Richardson Ross, and Otto Bolden. But, you know, one of the things that, you know, was also like a huge highlight that a lot of people won't take time to recognize is a lot of times it's hard to meet your heroes. And we've got people that love Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce. Sonya Richardson Ross, that love Otto Bolden, and they watch them run. So they get a chance to meet their heroes. And they're not bad people. They're lovers of the sport. They're pushing and cheering for athletes in these very same races that love them and fan base worship them. So I of course have my favorite races, notable performances. There was drama. But all in all, I love the coverage. There was so many great, moments and things that I saw from this coverage. And, of course, I have like my little notes of things that I would have changed. But then I also want to kind of highlight just some of the beauty of track and field. The basis of track and field is what ignites all sports. Like it ignites the beauty and the greatness in all sports. So I'm so happy. I did a podcast previous to this about what I'd love to change and what I want to see changed in track and field. And a lot of what I wanted to see change was actually brought to light in the media coverage and the coverage of this meet. It was just beautiful and unique and amazing. For USA, we did have this meet in our own backyard. So for us to not get, gold in everything, it is hard. And I'm gonna speak to that. I'm going to talk to that a little bit too. So my favorite races, as always, I'm a hurdler. So that's what, if you're going to peg me for something, I'm watching the 100 hurdles. The women. I'm watching the 110 hurdles like a hawk. I'm watching the 400 hurdles, both women and men. And then, I'm going to come and watch the 100. I'm going to watch the 200. I'm going to watch the 400. And, as we get to the 800 and the distance races, that's not home for me. So I apologize if I don't give you all of the love you deserve. But in that regard, I do yield and respect all of you who blasted out. I mean, you put more mileage in one day than I do in a full week. So in that regard, I respect you and love you. And then we get to the throws. Good God, the throws and the jumps. Boy, the throws and the jumps were so layered this year. And it's become a contest of preparation, of heart, of good recipes, and exactly what I believe track and field was intended to be, which is a competition of who can prepare better and prepare themselves better and know themselves better. So I don't know. I have so many notes and things to talk about from this meet, but I'll talk about my favorite races. I'm going to talk about the drama. I'm going to talk about, what I loved and then ultimately, get down to my notes, the things I, wish would have changed from world meet, because there were definitely some heartbreaks. So I still have my jaw on the floor, you all. Like, I don't know what to do, right? The women's 100-meter hurdles, that 12:06 by Toby Amasan from Nigeria. I'm still at a loss for words, y'all. Like, I don't know what to do. I wholeheartedly thought that Jasmine Camacho Quinn would squeeze out, you know, that world record now being pushed. Brittany Anderson goes 0.2 over her, you know, PR from this previously. She ran like a 12:04. She runs a 12:23. So Jamaica, man, something's in those yams, something's in the water, and y'all are doing a great job. She becomes a silver medalist after not running 12:04, running a 12:03 now at the meet, which is a PR, and then running 12:02, which 12:20 was the world record set by Kenny Harrison. So, you know, my hat's off to all the women. I would have loved to see Kenny Harrison run a 12:12. Which is what Toby Amasan ran, because she's fast enough to do it. She's light enough to do it. She's good on her feet enough to do it. Her turnover is quality, you know, all those great things. But hey, Jasmine Camacho Quinn, much respect to these beautiful women, these amazing women. The hurdlers are like an antique car. They're like a pristine, you know, a high-functioning Ferrari. Because they have speed and this rhythmic ability to get over hurdles as if, you know, they're not even there. Sometimes they don't even hit them. The 100 hurdles, definitely a favorite race. The 400 hurdles, I'm not going to put you to sleep with the amazement of this woman, Sydney McLaughlin. I mean, her 50.68 400 hurdle time would have got her 7th or 8th in the regular flat 400 with no hurdles. Like, she's killing it. Second place was Femke Bol running a 52:27, and Dalila Muhammad ran a 53:13 in the 400 hurdles. Now, let me say this about these times. The 100 hurdlers were the most fresh of all the sprinters in the whole meet. So more rest equals faster times. That's why at the end of the season, you'll notice most training, instead of 1 to 2 minutes in between, you know, your reps or your races that you run on Wednesdays, now you get a full 10 minutes or a full recovery in between your 200s and whatnot. So recovery definitely was the hero of this meet in terms of times. Noah Lyles, I'll get to him in a second, but recovery definitely was the winner for this meet. And if you were pounding on your legs consistently, the times weren't going to be the best. Now, Sydney McLaughlin kind of ate that up as the little guy with the sign, the mascot, I eat world records for breakfast. And then he went over to Mondo Duplantis. And I think his little sign said, world record, wash, rinse, and repeat. There were just some amazing, shout out to Chris Nelson, go Yotes. University of South Dakota. Come on, Chris Nelson. There were just so many great performances, but rest was the key. If you are well rested and you had the quality, you had the technique, and you had the eye of the tiger, if you are willing to fight, like get down and literally fight for this thing, it was just a different meet, you all. Like, it really came down to who was the better fighter in the race, not necessarily who was faster, who had their better technique. You had to bring it all together and have more of a fight in you. And that's what we saw in each and every race. And I don't feel bad for any of the winners or the losers. We literally got to see who had more fight in them. And saying that, I realize what I'm saying, as I allude to, you know, the other races, because the drama that set in for this meet, it was hard. before I get to the drama, let's stay with my favorite races, notable races. We talked about the women's 100 hurdles. We talked about the women's 400 hurdles. Sydney McLaughlin is doing literally what we've been hoping for in terms of a GOAT, you know, a greatest of all time track athlete. She's literally taken the mantle that we've built for Allyson Felix and turned it into a beautiful dress. And for all of you Christian female athletes out there, she's literally created a mold for what a Christian athlete should be on this level. And she's done it with such class. She's done it with wisdom. She's done it with grace. And there is no lack in her performance. She's consistently and clearly been the favorite. And she's special. I think we all feel like we're special, right? She is special. But man, the way she's doing it and presenting herself is it's a way to set yourself apart and aside. As she quoted Hebrews, you know, running boldly and mercifully to the throne. I mean, she does that. So for all of you who are saying, you know, it's okay to lose and learn your lesson. No. Look at your girl. She is running the race and running her race and quoting scripture and winning world records. That is your caliber. That is your crown. The best, the top. So I love her, and I love her for what she brings to the sport. She's this wonderful lady. She's just gotten married. She's partnered with, for me, what I consider one of the greatest coaches of all time. But then also, as a good coaching buddy of mine put out, you know, coaching should be the ability to coach these athletes up to this level. Coaching a LeBron James up to, you know, Olympic caliber is going to be easier than coaching a kid that just got through puberty and is dorky and walks funny and, you know, doesn't seem to have much coordination or, you know, things going on for him. If you can get that dorky, nerdy kid to be at the Olympics, that speaks higher volumes of not just the coaching, but that kid's ability to listen and apply great things and have a great journey going from, you know what I'm saying, Peter Parker or Steve Rogers, going from Steve Rogers as this scrawny little fighter from the Bronx with no serum, but great coaching, meal planning, all those great things. So yes, I love and worship Bobby Kersee for all the Olympians that he's had. I mean, Jackie Joyner Kersee, Gail Devers, Karan Clement, gold, Allyson Felix, gold, 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 silver, bronze, gold, gold, silver, bronze. And now this amazing woman, Sydney McLaughlin. So I absolutely love him for that and what he's done. He set himself apart from, you know, all the coaches being a, you know, in theory of Phil Jackson, you know, I mean, Phil Jackson has more rings on his hand than, you know, most people have fingers or toes. I mean, he's, now, let me back up. He's got the 6 with Michael. He's got the 5 with Kobe. So that's 11. Just phenomenal coach, amazing coach. You can have all those rock stars and amazing talent with you and it fail. And so while I'm saying, yes, it is, you know, a treat and it does make your job a lot easier to have, say, for example, a hurdler that can run a 9.9 in the 100 or a 400 hurdler that can run, you know, as a woman. I mean, if she can run 47 seconds in the 400 or as a man, if he can run 43 seconds in the 400, getting them over 400 hurdles is all about rhythm and technique. You really don't have to do much for their speed when they can run that fast. So, yes, yes. Coaching is much easier when you've got a LeBron James. I get that. But, yeah, the 200, probably one of the biggest blowouts we've seen in such a long time. Noah Lyles running that rather than 1931. As he said, when he saw that 1932 turn to 1931, he ripped off that jersey and just exploded. He went straight Super Saiyan and just, you know, lost it. He was just in heaven at that moment. Now, let's note, as I said, rest was king for this meet. Rest. If you wanted to be a queen, an emperor for this meet, rest was it. And pounding on your legs a lot was not how you did it. Kenny Bednarik ran a 19.7. I don't believe that's a PR for him. But Arian Knighton ran a 19.80. 19.80 is fast. It's ridiculous fast. 19 anything is fast, like, period. The slowest guy in the race from South Africa ran a 20.47, which is blazing fast. Arian Knighton did not run his 19.4. Kenny Bednarik, to my knowledge, did not PR. But this is lightning fast. And if you're looking at these races wondering, like, why didn't Arian Knighton, you know, run his 19.40 or 19.39? Well, you got to know what you're doing at these meets. The bright lights do something to you. And as you're out there and know the playing field and get comfortable, it really is all about, as I said, we saw everybody has training. We saw that everybody's been coached. We saw that everybody runs well. But who wanted it more? Who had the eye of the tiger? Who is willing to fight through all of the obstacles and really be on the top? And we saw it in triple jump. We saw it in long jump with the men and the women. My notable performances, obviously, the men's sweep of the 200, the men's sweep of the 100. It was phenomenal. Fred Curley, just much love for him. He's doing it his way. As Frank Sinatra said, you know, I'm doing it my way. He should get a Frank Sinatra shirt. He's not Wayne Brady. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not Wayne Brady. He's not Chris Rock. He's not Dave Chappelle. He's not an event host. Like, you just know, like, people that don't want to be in front of the camera talking a lot won't. We shouldn't require that of everybody. If he's not comfortable doing it, he's not comfortable doing it. And he ran his race. I mean, he's a 400 runner that won the 100 meter dash. And his PR is, I believe, like a 9.7. So obviously we didn't see, Marcel Jacobs from Italy, our Olympian, come back, which is not foreign. That's not shocking to hear. A lot of Olympians, they run their bodies down to get to the Olympics. And as I said, rest is king. So if you find the ability to rest, and I think in the fall, do the best you can to create an environment in your body where power can save your speed and not have to run so fast all the time. That power you build in the fall is really essential. And big ups, most respect to Michael Norman, 44.29, even though he ran a 43.7 split in the 400. I think Michael Norman struggles with some things internally. I don't know what it is specifically, but I think he does struggle with some things internally that are sometimes bigger than his race. And my hat's off to him, credit to him for, you know, getting it done. Because we're in an era now where we understand, like, the way people are set up mentally does affect how they drive the car, right? That's why we ask people to not text and drive. We ask people to not drink and drive. And we ask people to be fully rested when they're driving their car, because what you do to your mind or how your mind is set up ultimately affects your races. Wade Van Niekerk ran a 44.97 when really we know he's capable of running a 42.97. And just a word of wisdom, please share this with your athletes. When you win a state track meet, when you win a world meet, when you win an Olympic meet, do not go out into collision sports, contact sports, and expect your body to still be Olympic level speed, Olympic level quality, Olympic level pace. Now, if you're all about football, okay, if you're going to school for football, do whatever you want. You live in a contact world. You're a monster. You're a war. And I'm going to speak to that in a little bit too about football. But Wade Van Niekerk wanted to go back and celebrate in his country. And I think he played rugby. It was like a championship rugby game or whatever. And like, here's the thing. A track and field body is different from a football or basketball body in that we put so much energy into running forward for speed that your ankles, knees, and joints are not conditioned and excited and desiring lateral movement, zigzag patterns. Now, you can do it in the beginning of the year, maybe for fun, to train your hips, to train your obliques, to train your glutes, your groin, your quads, your core, to do random movements, because we do some random movements. Curve running is not normal. Hurdling is not normal. Long jump, triple jump, the way we pause and hold in the air is not normal. What you do to get up to a pole vault is not normal. Even for to throw the javelin and hammer is not normal, or the discus is not normal. And that's why shot putters, I absolutely love that shot putters are built the way they are, because it makes me want to study them and learn them a little bit more. Like, why do you need so much power to throw this shot put 20 meters and 70 feet, right? So, yeah. Word to the wise, if you are a dominant track athlete, a world-leading track athlete, and you are done with high school, okay, you're not going to run and play football. Please, lack of a better term, sit your ass down. I would have loved to see this young man, Wade Van Niekerk, run to the best of his ability instead of trying to run through injuries. I love this guy. I love him. I think he's awesome. He's what the sport needs. But Michael Johnson, when he ran his 400 world record and his Olympic 200 record, I mean, the only thing he had to do was ice. I think he did like a Coors Light beer commercial afterwards, and that was it. Seeing your heroes go out and get beat up in something that people get beat up in and then wonder, well, wow, he got injured? It's like, this is something when we're young, we just have to learn. Maybe I shouldn't have done that. So, yeah. I as much as I'm excited and happy for, you know, our current world record holders that are all, you know, they've all performed in my lifetime, that for the races that I, you know, adamantly watch, it is kind of sad to see that, man, like, we are real, we are human, the body does break down, and you have to be extra, extra, extra careful when going into those environments that do not favor you, right? So I had to learn this lesson the hard way. You know, I don't know how old Wade Van Niekerk is, but I know the same season that I went and played intramural basketball with my buddies, we had a track team, intramural basketball team. I think three or four of us had meniscus tears, and it wasn't the inside leg on, you know, the inside leg of the curve. It was the outside leg. All of us had the same meniscus tear on the outside. Because low key, when you're running indoor 200s as a man, any man that weighs more than I say 130 pounds, you cannot run on the inside of the curve. Our hips are not built as well as women's. Women having that God-given ability for childbirth and the ability to expand and move better than a man is why in gymnastics, the talent and the ability of a woman surpasses a man's and goes further than a man's. So yeah, not all of those things that we love and drool over about women are just for our, you know, our enjoyment. Some of them actually allow them to be a more quality athlete or stand the test of time better. But yeah, running on that curb, you've got to run a little bit more toward the middle or outside of your lane as a larger, stronger man. But yeah, it was just such great coverage. It was just such a great meet. I really enjoyed it. You know, God, I'm trying to think, what didn't I cover? So yeah, men's, women, there we go. The women's 200. Now, Sharika Jackson had some trouble in the Olympics last year, and she even did an interview about it, you know, about not showing up. And the thing was, on, you know, our neighbor, your neighbors to the north, Trayvon Bramell, had the same exact issue. He just wasn't really there, and really on in the semifinals and opening rounds, and you get blown out. You get blown out thinking that you got to take it easy, not realizing that there's some people that will never beat you. They will never be better than you, that run their greatest race ever and just happen to knock you out of opening round or the prelims. And where is this familiar? In the NFL, the rounds that we see for, you know, playoffs and all of that, like, we see that consistently, where just somebody that wanted it more just comes and knocks you over. And my team, the Atlanta Falcons, was proof of this. You know, the 28-3, well, they thought they had it won. And then you get to the fourth quarter, and that's when you really need to shine. Football is a war. Like, it really is a war. And, you know, track and field, it's done and over with that race. So you've got to have a much stronger reaction to the gun. Your fight or flight ability has to be much stronger in that one moment, right? That one moment. It's that game-winning touchdown moment for literally less than 10 seconds for the 100 meters to do a quality job and make sure you beat the people in your heat. That's all. Now, Sharika Jackson had this issue and, you know, came out and just blew the doors off of everybody. She's going for that world record. That world record might come down. She ran a 21.45 and looked amazing doing it. Also in that heat, Abby Steiner got fifth, ran a 22.26. Now, Miss Saini, from Niger, 22.12, hadn't seen her all year. But the three that won the podium, Sharika Jackson, 21.45, Shelly Ann Fraser Price won the 100, Mommy Rocket, Pocket Rocket, all the rockets that she is, 21.8. Awesome job, Shelly Ann Fraser Price. Like, if I ever meet her, I just want to give her a hug and ask her a billion questions. Like, she just lights me up. She's just such an amazing person. Just my hats off to the whole Team Jamaica. They're just beautiful women, gorgeous women, amazing track athletes. They always show up and compete and just do an amazing job. And I think they're a great example of, you know, just coming together as a team, which I believe the American women, you know, we are headed to. So, yeah. Women's 400, 49.11, Shawnee Miller-Weibo, just dope. Marletti Paulino, 49.60, dope. It looked like that was going to be a race, but Shawnee Miller-Weibo just, she literally stepped out away from everybody. And when you're 6'11", if you can control that tall frame, you're going to do great things. Now, a thing, Mo and Keely Hodgkinson, that had to be the tightest race next to the women's 4x1. Like, they were on each other like white on rice, on a glass of milk, on a paper plate in a snowstorm. Thank you, Major Payne. So, yeah, I mean, those races got really intense, really heated. Those are my favorite notable races. And then when you get to the 4x1s and 4x4s, I mean, it's not always just, oh, yeah, you just guarantee. You can't always guarantee that just because Jamaica has the fastest 100-meter runner, the fastest 200-meter runner, and then the previous Olympian, you know, the fastest woman, you know, alive, you can't just guarantee because they've got this trio of dominant sprinters that they're just going to win. Like, you can't just guarantee that. And the women put it together and just ran such an amazing race. Like, I don't know. I was like yelling, almost screaming at the top of my lungs, like, get it around. Because Melissa Jefferson, Abby Steiner, Jenna Prandini, and TT Terry, like, this mixture of young ladies, that mixture of young ladies might not ever be around each other all together at the same time. And the story about our country, for those of you that might listen to this from another country, the story about these women that's so different about our country that makes it so unique and different is we are so diverse and segregated and split up by demographics that this group of friends, like this 4x1 right here, could be best friends for life at a high school or be so separated by the way they live, by life, by all of this, that they would never in any way have any connection to each other but track and field, right? The team and training partner that TT Terry has is nothing close to what Jenna Prandini has, right? Melissa Jefferson's team and training partner might not be like what Abby Steiner's has, right? And then Abby Steiner, I believe she's from Ohio, and she ran for Kentucky as the standout that she was. Well, Jenna Prandini is an Oregon girl. So just because you see two white women on your screen does not mean they get along. That doesn't mean they like each other. That doesn't mean they grew up with each other. And I think we know this in other countries, but everybody just assumes because you're in America, it's easy. Well, we're a very competitive place. And just because you see three Jamaicans that are dominant does not mean that they automatically like each other. That doesn't mean that they're just automatically going to win. That doesn't mean it's automatically going to gel. And as I study people that are world travelers and from different countries, I learned this to be true. I really wish, you know, as Americans, we understood other countries a little bit better, our neighbors overseas and our neighbors to the north and the neighbors to the south. I really wish we understood this a little bit better. But my hat's off to the women's 4x1. My hat's off to the women's 4x4. Like, Sydney McLaughlin just rolling, 47 second split. Like, come on, man. Like, this is just, I really don't even know what to say. But yeah, so those races were unique and amazing. Men's sweep in the shot put, Ryan Krauser, Kovacs, and I can't remember the gentleman's name. Let me find his name here. Ooh, where is his name? Oh, okay. There we go. Mr. Josh Awotunde, 22.9 meters. Ryan Krauser, 22.94 meters. Now, here's the thing. I was like, you know, kind of talking with my coaching, track buddy, Mr. Steve Gordon, Mr. Ridiculous, about, you know, the meters. Like, why don't in American meets we say the feet? Because feet, like 60 and 70 feet sound so much better than 22 meters. But if I run a 30 meter or a 20 meter, you know, that's pretty far. If I threw, like, just for example, if Ryan Krauser could throw a shot put 100 meters, it doesn't matter what feet or whatever, you know, that this man could throw a shot put as far as you run, right? That's a lot of power and speed. 20 meters is a third. It is a third of the 100 meter race. Okay. It's just a little bit. Okay. Let's fifth. It's a fifth of the race. If you want to be highly, you know, technical. So my buddy Steve was saying is the world, like the Brits, is it the Brits or the French? They created the imperial system and they don't even use it. We use feet for everything because that's us. But we just need to get on board with that. And then in our minds, we can calculate a little bit better. Because if I say a foot, you wouldn't say 12 inches. You could just say a foot. A meter is just a more simple measurement tool. The whole world uses it. We need to get on board for it. So I will say the drama at the meet that did kind of keep me up at night. Not going to lie. Like, let's just be honest. Like, this really bothered me that a man was standing on the track as I believe it was the 800 meter prelim. One of the prelims of, I believe, the 800. No, it was the steeplechase. The steeplechase. The guy from Morocco was in that heat because they said it was a bloody race. There was a photographer standing in the track while a race was going, and we just let it go. Meanwhile, Devin Allen gets disqualified for a block false start, not a visible false start. You couldn't see that he did anything wrong. If you could see that he was visibly moving before everyone else, like head and shoulders, then I would be like, yeah, okay. Like, yeah, he messed up. But you couldn't even see it. Like, he, whatever. Also, one of the women in the 100 meters false started, Favor Ophelia, I believe her name was. This young lady is from, Julian Alfred. And I watched this young lady, she's 21 years old, sophomore who won NCAA in the 100. Like, she won the 100. And I watched that meet, loved that meet. It was covered very well. I mean, that was hard, you all. So I watched two favorites or high quality athletes, boom, just kicked right out. And then I did see one of the young ladies from the Bahamas. She got kicked out of the 100. Same thing. I'm just like, come on. Like, I get that it's an assist. It's to assist, you know, for the false start. But just that drama. And then, like, ironically, there were no false starts after that. So everybody was good after that. I don't believe that. I'm sorry. And I mean, if they just stopped looking at the counter, you know, if it was faster than 0.9 and they just stopped looking at it, okay. But I mean, as Otto Bolden pointed, you can't petition, you can't still run. It's over, which is like the most heartbreaking thing. Now on to the hurdlers, because this hurt my heart in a way that you all, there's no way to really say it. Kenny Harrison hit the first hurdle so hard, right? So, Alaysha Johnson, you know, just a beautiful young lady. I mean, she's got her hair done, you know, eyelashes done, all of that. Just comes out to be pretty and just run this race. She struggled to. Nia Ali falls, you know, she clipped her trail leg so hard trying to pull it through that it literally pulled her back. I mean, this was hard for me, you all, because our American, you know, hurdlers are who I've attached myself to. And, you know, Kenny Harrison started with, you know, just a nice little 1260. then she comes through, later and, runs like a 12-3. I don't know. It was just hard. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, Laisha Johnson couldn't even get it together out of the blocks. And like, for me, I'm watching like, man, you know, 12-2-7, you know, 12-2-7 is great, Kenny Harrison. But, when the rubber meets the road, Kenny hit that first hurdle so hard that she could never really get back in the race. She was like wobbly. And, yeah, I mean, she hit even like the sixth hurdle underneath. She went underneath the hurdle. Her lead leg foot went underneath the hurdle. And I mean, it was just a disaster. And I don't know, maybe this needed to happen, for our ladies to clean it up and do things different. This was not the desired result that I wanted. I would have loved to see the women go 1-2-3, a hurdle sweep again. Right after Kenny Harrison broke Kenny Harrison did not qualify for the Olympics, she goes to just one of the open meets in between qualifying and Olympics and runs the 12-20. Like, she had that juice in her legs. It's just, unfortunately, sometimes for these big meets, things go wrong for her. And I don't know if she gets a little bit wild or a little bit too hype, but I get it. I do get it. And that's the thing, like with your body type, everything changes and affects you in track and field. You can be bigger and stronger, and yeah, the hurdles wouldn't affect you in any way, but would you be slower? And then you can be lighter and smaller, but if you're lighter and smaller, then when you hit the hurdle, does it do you more damage than you do to it? Because I saw a guy break a hurdle. Trey Cunningham. I saw Trey Cunningham break the hurdle, in his quest for the silver medal after Grant Holloway. So, yeah, it's tough. It's hard. But, hey, this is track and field. You have to compete. You have to show up. You're not guaranteed anything. So, yeah, that's the men and the women. The men's hurdles, obviously. I would have loved to see Devin Allen come and run his 12-8-4 again. I know that these rounds really wore these guys out. I believe that Grant Holloway is capable of running 12-8-1 or 12-80 as well. He's a left leg lead, just like the world record holder, Aries Merritt. But yeah, Trey Cunningham, he's going to get there at some point. He's probably the cleanest, most efficient hurdler we've seen in a long time. He's kind of like an Allen Johnson, but just taller and white. but yeah, I mean, women's javelin, Kara Winger as a silver medalist, awesome. Women's high jump. Now, women's high jump was so diverse. I mean, Australia, Ukraine, Italy. I mean, these women really put on a show. And then also in the women's hammer, the women's hammer almost, shut that thing out if they would have had like a silver medalist from the U.S. But Brooke Anderson threw 78 meters. And then her teammate, Janae Casanovoid, through 74.86. Valerie Allman, as beautiful as she is, the dancer of the discus world, did end up getting bronze, and she was happy about that. Really struggled to get her game plan together for the meet, and just throw well. It came late, which better late than never. And yeah, and then as far as shot put, Chase Ely was really looking to just kind of dominate, from the beginning, like all season. Last year it was Maggie Ewan that was our world meet champion while everybody was at, the Olympics. But Chase Ely holding on strong, to that lead. And I mean, for a former 100 meter champion from New Mexico, not bad. women's triple jump, Yulimar Rojas, the world record holder, 15.47, nobody close. Women's heptathlon, Anna Hall did get bronze. She got to give a hug to the GOAT, the greatest of all time, Jackie Joyner-Kersee, which was just a great moment to see. But hey, you know, Fred Curley, Noah Lyles, Michael Norman, such an amazing, amazing, amazing time. Let me see, who else can I talk about? Distance all belonged in Africa. most of those distance races just belonged in Africa and Ethiopia. Ooh, now how can I not talk about this? So the biggest upset, probably in the 400 hurdles for the men, was seeing Alisson Dos Santos run his 46.29. And beat Ry Benjamin and beat Carsten Warholm. Carsten Warholm ran a 48.42, which I'm not going to lie, that's still fast for 400 hurdles. Like anything faster than 60 seconds is going to be faster what any normal human being could run over the 400 hurdles. So he's running a 48.42, which most high school students struggle to run in the flat 400. So that that race by Alisson Dos Santos, if anybody doesn't know, I had a buddy of mine from Ghana tell me that he learned how to play soccer by watching people from Brazil because they dance as they play. He's like, they're better dancers, they're better movers. And I saw Dos Santos dancing and moving through each race better than everyone. Almost to the point where when he did race Ry Benjamin, I think it was over in Europe earlier this season, you knew something was wrong with Ry Benjamin because Dos Santos looked like he had just drank a Capri Sun or just had like a Coke and a smile. He was like in heaven, and Ry Benjamin looked like he was getting over COVID because he was. But hats off to them. I mean, 46.89 is not a slouch. 46.7 was the world record previous to 2 years ago, until Carsten Warholm jumped in there and equaled it, then broke it. Then at the Olympics, all three of them broke it. Carsten Warholm first with a 45.9, then Ry Benjamin and Alisson Dos Santos. So Trevor Bassett, big ups to him. Trevor Bassett and Katie Najat, both from Ashland College, a Division II college, have elevated them and raised them to a level that I don't think you really understand. Coming from a Division II college as well, when you see your people up on the podium and you see somebody from Division II make it to this level, it validates you in a way that no one else can give you, because the Alabama football world, okay, in comparison to schools from, say, the Big Ten, or schools that haven't been, you know, publicized as much, you don't get the shine. You don't get the shadow. You don't get the shine. You're constantly in the shadow. And everybody kind of just looks over you like, oh, yeah, they're just a Division II school. Where Division II stood up. What most people don't realize, Chris Nielsen, University of South Dakota was a Division II school for ever. Chris Nielsen comes to a school from a school that has a rich history in Division II. We put the work on everybody. A little school from South Dakota, we put the work on everybody. And they never saw it coming. They're just like, what? South Dakota? Even in Division II, we had the shadow over us. So, Trevor Bassett, huge ups to you. You know, finally getting that high place podium, 47.39. 400 hurdles, my hat's off to you. Great job. And then Katie Najat winning the pole vault in the Olympics gold and winning the pole vault here in Worlds and getting the gold again. So obviously I would have loved to see, you know, Ry Benjamin do his thing and break the world record, but it's just not there for him. His body was beat up and he was in his head. I could see it. they just got to change his race plan. He needs to alternate at least one to two hurdles. And at the beginning, him chopping at the very beginning is crazy. Like, he's got all the speed in the world. He might as well take 12 steps, you know? So much controversy. What an amazing, amazing, amazing meet. And I love the coverage. I really wish they'd take the gap off and just put the times. Just put the times of the athletes, because trying to figure out their times by looking at that gap was really weird. Like, that didn't make any sense to me. Like, I don't know who enjoyed that, and I'm glad if you enjoyed that, but I personally did. I frowned every time I saw that. I'm like, what are their times? I don't really care what the distance was between the first and the second person in terms of meters. Like, I don't really need that. I need to know their times. Like, if I'm their coach, I don't look at distance. Oh, yeah, well, when, you know, what's it said? Rye Benjamin was 2 meters behind Alisson Dos Santos. And Trevor Bassett was a meter behind Rye Benjamin. What a great race. We're not in that time period anymore. We have systems to look at time. As a matter of fact, they were showing the 400 meter splits. And the 200 that these 400 meter runners, as you were coming across the 200, they were showing what Allison Felix and Shawnee Miller Weibo and all of the 400 runners and 4x4 runners, they were showing their 200 meter split as they were going down the backstretch. Show that. And then show the time of the runner as they finish. They have more than enough technology. So that gap, I really didn't, I don't know, show me the splits. Somebody showed them later. I have like the breakdown of the splits of, you know, which is really scary. I have the splits showing that Cindy McLaughlin ran a 47 in her split, which is, just for reference, in 1985 from East Germany, Marita Koch ran a 47.60. The only times, okay. I'm looking at the times right now, okay? And Shawnee Miller Weibo runs like a 49, I believe. So the times that we've seen the last few years, so Allison Felix, her PR is a 49.26, and that's gold medal quality. There's like an Anna Guevara that in 2003 ran a 48.89. That's like super fast. But like the top 10 times, like Sonya Richardson Ross is number 9 of all time. And she ran a 48.70. These are people that I've seen that I believe are all still living. Shawnee Miller Weibo is number 6 of all time, running 48.36. This is not an easy race. Marie-Jose Parekh is 48.25. Gorgeous woman that she is. She's number 4 all time, running a 48.25. Sawa Ed Nasser, she's a 48.14. She's 3rd of all time, 3rd fastest of all time. She ran that in Doha in 2019 and blew the doors off of everybody. Number 2 from 1983 from Czechoslovakia is Jarmila Kratochvilova. And then number 1 is Marita Koch. So this is what I'm saying, you all. She's already ran the world record time through her split. So I don't even know what to tell you. Like, this is just, I don't know. This is just phenomenal. So like when I ask for splits and times, I know I'm not the only one. I know I'm not the only one. And yeah, maybe if we need to use meters, you know, more often, we can be the last people, you know, to hold on to it and convert better. But I just love saying feet. You know what I'm saying? I'm addicted to it. If I grew up knowing different, you know, measurements for track and field and used it more often, then yeah, I would, because I say it for races, 100 meters, 200 meters, 300 meters, 400 meters, 5,000. But, you know, when it comes to, you know, throws and jumps, then it's kind of foreign to me. I'm like, hey, what's that calculation? Can you Google that real quick? Last but not least, I kind of want to end this with a little friendly reminder of how important the track and field world is. I have a chart in front of me. Now, this thing is actually, this is from an article from Flow Track back in 2016, just highlighting the ability that the Alabama recruiting staff has found in track and field. Let me just read this to you. Now, the defensive backs, okay, they have more than 12 defensive backs that are track and field athletes and less than 8 that were not. Defensive line, track and field athletes, linebackers, track and field athletes. Now, they had more that were not. Offensive line, more that were not. And so what that looks like from a perspective is your linebackers and offensive line might be shot putters, discus throwers, and hammer throwers, and javelin. Now, your punters don't need to run track. Your punter kickers, you know. Now, your QBs, there were more quarterbacks that did not run track than that did. But any of the running backs that ran, any of the running backs for Alabama, there were twice as many running backs, let's say 6, and there would be 3 that were not. Tight ends, they had at least 7 tight ends that ran track and 3 that did not. As far as wide receivers, they had 10 wide receivers that ran track and maybe 7 that did not. So in almost every category where there is speed off of the line, so, I mean, the linebackers and offensive linemen, it was about, I would say, a good 80, you know, 60, 50, I'd say 60% did not run track because they don't need to, right? But in almost every category, I'll just make it easy and say defensive backs, wide receivers, and running backs, or especially defensive line, it was almost like 2-1. They ran track. We got to stop thinking that track and field is just this, you know, little participation award sport. When in all truth, all reality, there's no concussions. If you are worried about athletes being guaranteed money for doing nothing, that does not exist. You have to show up. Like, if you get an award at a track and field meet, it's because you did something. If you get money in track and field, it's because you did something. It is a commission-only job, right? You do the work. There is no guaranteed contract. There's no guaranteed anything. So I love you all. I hope you love me back. Thank you for joining my post-track and field world meet wrap-up. I couldn't have been more excited and happy with this meet. Thank you, thank you, thank you to CNBC. Thank you, thank you, thank you to NBC. Thank you to USA. You all covered these meets in glowing fashion, better than I've ever seen it before. And thank you to Xfinity. You all gave me the track and field coverage that I've desired for years. You did not bump my track meets for cornhole. You did not bump my track meets for golf. You did not bump my track meets for the Wimbledon. You did not bump my track meets for any other thing except for what was supposed to be on my DVR. And that's how I caught up to it while chasing around my daughter and being a dad and doing all the other obligations and responsibilities I needed to do this summer. So thank you, thank you, thank you for all of this and all of that. And best of luck to all of you who are training. Listen to my podcast. And you can love and like these posts. I love you all. Hope you love me back. I'll see you soon.